Hi, this is episode 2 of 2019 of Longtail News with Shyamal Chandra. Today's topic is going to be something about the recent news on Twitter. And something really cool that's been happening is lots of people are really getting into... today is the 30th anniversary of Tim Berners-Lee and the World Wide Web. And so there was an interesting article in all these magazines about the 30th anniversary of the World Wide Web and how it took place. I actually read the book from Tim Berners-Lee called Weaving the Web, where he talks about him and his family, which are two professors from Oxford, or his dad and mom, and how he rose to become a researcher at CERN and get the next computer from Steve Jobs' company and use it to make the first HTTP server, first HTML web page, and a bunch of more stuff, and make that public, available, open source, I think, at that time, and the browser too, which was read-write-web at that time, which would turn into something like what Wikipedia has become. The most interesting thing about that is that the Read Wide Web has still not happened after 30 years. It's not become predominant only in the case of wikis and other things like that. They had that test by MetaWeb, the Freebase, and that did not get very popular. That was shut down. But that was really interesting too, how they were taking entities and they were making them available, and you can search on various entities and how they go around different places. And the Wikipedia is cool because hopefully they've gotten a contribution from one of the large companies to do search engine on top of that, a really cool search engine for Wikipedia. So hopefully stay tuned with Jimmy Wales and what he's going to muster up for the next generation of Wikipedia. If he's, I think he's working on Wiki Tribune now, which has really not caught on per se, but Wikipedia has become just the number one source for any information, and all the web search engines use it to as their first point for any type of information. So what happened in Weaving the Web? He talks about Mark Andreessen, the development of the Mosaic browser. Also, he talks about some of the early funders of Netscape. And really interesting thing is that if you look at The Valley of the Boom, which is a new miniseries from National Geographic Channel, they really chronicle how the internet became what it is, who were the big pundits in it, and people who were big in the Silicon Valley and other places, that brought together all the ingredients to create this 2000 dot-com bubble, which then culminated in the 2001 burst with Black Friday, as far as I remember. I was there. I was a high school student. I did a presentation in my class. And I really did a good job. So I got to present to all my other calculus classes, and we were in that class. We were able to pick some stocks and see how they blow up or blow down in that period, and then able to track that and see how we monitored the investment of that fake monopoly money we got, and see how we were able to get that. So what's really cool is that Weaving the Web was about his initial vision of the World Wide Web and what he hoped to be open, free, and decentralized, and all these things that built upon the work of many pioneers from many universities like UCLA, BBN, USC, and MIT. Which were one of some of the first, and Stanford Research Institute, which were some of the first places on nodes on the internet. Now, what was so different about the World Wide Web? It was graphical. It had hypertext, and it had HTML. But what's so interesting of what the next generation is going to be with all the social web going around, and hopefully in the future there's going to be more of this stuff like Ethereum, like blockchain type stuff or BitTorrent type of stuff, where they have peer-to-peer web, and you have things like anonymized encrypted web where you can sell parts of it to other people. It's really interesting. I've seen a bunch of demos of people on the web, open web, open source, creating some browser that is using a blockchain type of protocols, but I've not really delved into them that much. But I think it's going in the right track. It needs the backing of some large company. What's cool about that is that you can keep everything, the data, where it is. This is interesting for things like doing some sort of data analysis. You know, instead of sending all the data to that person, the computation goes to that particular host, and then all the computation is done and then comes back to you. But I don't think that has really much to do with the World Wide Web. But anyways, that's another side thought. I really think that weaving the web was really cool because MIT created the W3C, where they were able to create a bunch of XML standardizations that became very famous and are used still today. But some are not even used yet. There's SSMIL, which stands for vector graphics, which is animated, and there's SVG, which allows you to create art from equations rather than by using bitmaps. By using all sorts of piecewise fitting, and all these things, it's really cool. This is really cool because you could do that, and it's the 30th anniversary. So I wanted to celebrate with this podcast on that particular subject. There's so many cool things that come out, and on my Twitter podcast, I was able to put some new features that they could have on the web, one of them being one of the protocols that I learned back in school, the SCTP protocol, which allows you to do UDP-like lossy communication, but with handshakes. And it's more efficient than TCP/IP, but it's rarely used in certain scenarios. It's just an optimization game. And then there's Semantic Web 2.0. We'll see what that happens to that. HTTP/3, HTML6, which is still under wraps and it's not come out yet. And TCP congestion control protocols that have come out in the past but haven't been implemented on the stack on all these Linux and Unix and Windows stacks. And peer-to-peer web, obviously, which I alluded to earlier, which is going to be exciting. These are all exciting stuff that hopefully will come to fruition. This is my big, big, big thought of the day. And I posted on my Twitter, you know, they had a picture of Vint Cerf and Tim Berners-Lee and celebrating Web 330. And so it's exciting times for them. So anyways, that's all for this first, second episode, first part of my conversation on technology, sports, music, movies, and research. Let's talk more later. Okay, and this is the part two of episode two of Long Tail News with Shyamal Chandra. Today, a few days ago, we celebrated the 76th birthday of Bobby Fischer, one of the best, if not the best, chess players of all time. Many, many chess players like these Indian grandmasters that are 14-year-old, they idolize him because of his commitment to becoming obsessive compulsive about learning about the field and his triads against the Russians and Spassky in 1972, which culminated him from relinquishing his title in 1974 to Karpov, and his disappearance to Los Angeles, and then his revival in 1992 against the U.S. Laws, and he had to he went to some part of Slavic country, and he played for like $10 million. I remember it was on pay-per-view. I was watching on the news. And what occurred to me is that Bobby Fischer was kind of a one-man team, and he was able to do amazing things just by reading chess books. And he was able to get the phone call from Kissinger and get on the plane and make it just in time for the game. And it's really chronicled in Tobey Maguire's movie where he plays this role, and he's able to kind of, just like Neil Armstrong in First Man or Freddie Mercury's actor, he's able to just kind of emanate the Bobby Fischer type of acting. So I saw this movie quite a while back. I still remember parts of it, but it was very long. If I compare it to the Steve Jobs movie, I think this movie was a little bit longer than that. But Steve Jobs one was truncated because lots of details were missing from the Steve Jobs movie. But this movie on Bobby Fischer was pretty amazing because they were able to get all the Spassky characters, his kind of paranoia with microphones underneath the table, and people recording his conversations in his kind of like Kasparov did when he played one of the famed companies in a chess match. And he had that in the movie that was directed by some Indian guy who won an Oscar award. And exciting about that, he just was paranoid about Fischer that they has an earpiece or something like that. And it was exciting to watch him, just relinquish all those fears and come and play just some chess. I also read the biography by Frank Brady called Endgame, and Frank Brady's still alive. It talked about Bobby Fischer. He was really not into, according to Frank Brady, he was really not into opposite gender. And he was very into, like, he was going to some fashion ball and he was playing chess on his pocket calculator or pocket chess player. And he was not watching the fashion show. So it showed him that he was not really into the opposite gender. Just like Freddie Mercury from sometimes when he was on tour, he had some interesting vibes about him. But none of these vibes came out. But it all culminated in the post-September 11th triad where Bobby Fischer said some really, really strange things. And the U.S. government kept on playing that over and over again. And then it climaxed in 2018 or 2008 when he died in Japan, and his burial was put in Iceland later, where he stayed for many years. And I think that's what happened. I don't remember, but I have to think about that. And Bobby Fischer was a really exciting movie and book. And I, when I was younger, I used to, I went through the entire book by Bobby Fischer Teaches Chess, and he has some cool puzzles in there, and it was really exciting. And I thought it was something really cool. It was one of the few books that I went through for chess before, and it just shows. And there was also another one by BBC that was exciting too. I read that parts of that book too. It's Bobby Fischer Against the World. And that was pretty exciting too. So hopefully you can check this out. And this is the second part of the second episode of Longtail News with Shyamal Chandra. Hope you enjoy it.